Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Ilona Europa, Accent on Monday, 6 till 7 Pacific time, every Monday, the same chair, the same studio. Oh, welcome to our studio. Everybody who would like to listen to our show, I will deliver today a very interesting one. We have in the studio Mike Gormley. We miss you, Mike.
I'm back.
You're back. We'll come back and explain why he left us and now he's back. We have also your guest with us. Could you introduce your guest to us?
I'd love to introduce you to Ronnie Cox, actor extraordinaire, musician extraordinaire, left-wing maniac.
My gosh, and storyteller. This man can tell stories.
Right,
and
I
don't even know, we have 30 minutes, but you know, we probably will need to have you back and talk about everything, the beautiful part of you, the scary part of you, ooh, the romantic part of you, the talkative part of you, the all of your faces and plans for the future. And you got so much going on in life, and I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Hi, Ronnie.
How are you?
Well, I don't know. Okay, who is calling you, Ronnie? Oh.
Is that me or you?
It's not me. Whose phone
He's
is
popular.
Calling? Well, let's tell them.
Out there somewhere.
Somebody's calling, but okay. Hey, this is... That's so funny.
Now it's off.
That's okay. But you know what? This is a live radio show.
Happy
then
again.
I think things happen in live. We know, and I want to start this show on a very, very happy note because we have somebody in the studio also who is like so shiny and so bright and so full of energy and so like I want to hug her, be her friend forever.
Yay.
And her name is Crush, but not only Crush.
Girl Crush.
Girl
Thanks
Crush.
Thanks for having me out.
Gosh, she's cute. She's beautiful. And
thank you. Hello. Likewise.
It's not so many people with high energy and you don't drink coffee. That's what I asked her before the show.
Like, I'm high off of vitamins.
Yeah, but she's also...
I always have my emergency in the morning.
Oh, okay. Maybe something that I can add to my 5 coffees at morning and then get hyper. Okay, but yes, and you are, of course, a singer, songwriter, you are an actor, and you have...
Yes.
You are mama. You're mommy,
right.
Then that's what is so cute. And we have also in our studio a gentleman who from time to time comes to our show and brings very interesting guests. And you, hi, Carlos. She's your client. Could you say hi to our people? Closer to microphone.
Hi, everybody.
Okay. Carlos is my awesome publicist.
I know you're PR. Can you tell us one or two words about your PR agency?
Yeah, I do publicity, mostly actors and musicians. I rep Flock of Seagulls, the iconic 80s band, and also Robert Conrad and actress Shayna Mokler, who's on Lifetime Channel
Yay.
These days.
Oh, we had a few people from... that you represented before.
Yeah, and...
And now we have Crush.
We got Girl Crush.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And I know Crush has some great song. We'll be premiering on
great.
LA Talk Radio, and we'll be talking to you between our conversation.
Definitely.
Mike, then we missed you. You were in Canada.
I was there for a couple of weeks. My hometown, Ottawa.
Oh, boy.
And north of Toronto, a place called Peterborough that's just... It was incredible. It was 70 degrees and sunny, and it would rained a little bit here and there, but it was an amazing trip home, hanging out with family and friends.
Yeah, your picture were popping up here and there on my timeline. I'm like, yay, he enjoying himself. This is the same way when I go to Poland. It's like just life is so sweet. And I was thinking, how is he coming back? Because older we are getting, more and more we want to be closer to places than when we were born. That's me, but you are
laughing. Yeah, but I have great family and friends out here, too. So.
I know, and you have beautiful grandchildren. And,
yeah.
You cannot leave grandchildren, that's for sure.
Five of them.
Yay!
Oh, he's here to stay.
Forever. That's
right, I hear that, yeah.
But they also need to know Canada. They need to know this beautiful country because it's of yours. Because it's something special there, different.
It is an amazing place.
And they will see snow.
No snow.
One day when you take them.
Oh, yeah, any day now, but not when I was there, thankfully.
You got lucky. Okay, then today we have this very, very unusual, cool show because we are mixing guests always, and then today's mixture is very, like, volcanic, I will say. And I like that, you know, you never know what question will pop up and what answer we'll get. But today I asked Ronnie how long you both know each other, and he told me... How long do you know Mike?
I guess we've been together about 12 years, 10?
Something like that. So, no, it's more than 10. I know it's more than 10, but it was... We actually met at in Austin at the...
At SWRFA.
At SWRFA, yeah, which is
a... Southwest Regional Folk Alliance.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a folk singer sometimes. I'm a singer-songwriter and folk singer, but... And, you know, unlike pop singers, it's always well, pop singing, there's always a great audience for pop singing. With folk music, there's always a danger that it might break out again.
Oh, I understand. My roots are in folk. My first album was folk.
Look at
so
you.
I totally understand.
Look, the mixture started being really pleasant. That's very, very lovely. Okay, but yeah, folk music is something I think that people love. Maybe it's not so popular, but that's not the fault of artists. It's radio is less playing and just doesn't bring to our attention. But I really think the people who love this genre, they will find the songs from the past and from the future.
Well, every year there's an organization called Folk Alliance that has a convention every year. They have little offshoot conventions too, but the main one is in February in Kansas City, and last I heard, it was like 2,000 people from all over the world come there. Maybe more
so
than 2,000.
Cool.
Right, and you go for a lot of the artists. You go there and you do showcases there, and most people get booked for the entire year. From
one appearances there, already are booked. Yes,
they have the one appearance, but then they also have things like what's called in room showcases, and so sometimes you're in a hotel room that maybe has only four people
buyers.
But those four people might be the Philadelphia Folk Festival.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You might,
wow.
So,
that's great.
So you never know.
Absolutely.
And so it's at once daunting and exciting at the same time.
It's an amazing experience. The first time I went there many years ago was with a songwriting duo named Lowen and Navarro, and the three of us had no idea what this Folk Alliance thing was about. And they'd written pop hits. They wrote We Belong for Pat Benatar, and they wrote a lot of big records. And we were used to the pop rock convention, rock and roll convention scene. We went to Folk Alliance, and after our first night, the next day, we said, this is far more intense than any rock convention we've ever been to. We were in one of those rooms Ronnie was talking about where a guy was playing some music, and we were just sitting around talking. And we left that room at 5 in the morning. And when we came out of the room, there was a guy in a corner of the hallway playing fiddle.
Aww.
I mean, they just didn't stop.
Aww.
It was quite amazing.
Aww. That
yeah,
amazing.
It's wall-to-wall music, and it's really... we call it folk music for want of a better title. It's acoustic-oriented music.
Yeah, lovely.
Because, I mean, who knows? Who can come up with the right definition? Roz Larman, who is a wonderful radio personality here in L.A., made, I think, the greatest definition. She said, if I like it, it's folk.
That's pretty
good.
I like it. It's so true. I like it. It's good. I love this. Okay, but, you know, talking about your life, I know you have so much going on in your life. We start talking a little before the show, and you were mentioning that, oh, my gosh, there's so much going on. And I said, I'm jealous. Everybody's jealous about people who seems like can do it all. I know you probably are complaining that you could do more. But if we can go back, Mike, from moment maybe when you both met, because you have your past. You are an actor first and foremost. Yes, could we start from that?
Sure. In many ways, I've sort of had to live down being an actor.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, there are enough actors around that are dreadful at music.
Yes.
And so when I first got back into the music business, I had to live down, because the normal reaction was, oh, here's another actor that thinks he can play music.
Yes.
But see, most people don't realize where I grew up in New Mexico in the 50s, a little town called Portales, New Mexico, 19 miles north of me was Clovis, New Mexico. And I was actually at the recording session when Buddy Holly cut Peggy Sue. Gosh. I was there when the Fireballs was cutting. I was there when Sugar Shack was cut. So, and I was
great music doesn't make places. It shows us whatever, you know.
I was
people.
Cutting records when I was in high school. When I was in high school, Norman
you
Petty.
Really, you really thought that you would be a musician, yes?
I was a theater major in college, but also I put myself through college with a rock and roll band, Ron's Rockouts, back in those days. And so all the years I majored in theater in college, and all the years I was in college doing theater, too, I was playing music. Mm. And so when Mary and I got out of college, we went back east.
You said Mary. Who is Mary?
Oh, you got to know about Mary.
I know. I read, but you tell us.
That's another whole show.
I don't know about Mary.
Could you mention a little?
Mary moved to my hometown when she was 11. I was 14. We started going out when we were in high school. I've never had another girlfriend or another date in my life than Mary.
You're
my
so
heart just melted right now.
Wonderful people. The real love exists.
Yeah.
Real love exists, Ronnie and Mary.
Yeah.
Nobody makes a movie about your love story?
I've just completed a book about Mary's in my life. Because, you know, I lost Mary a little over 10 years ago. Mary, first of all, the thing I admire more than anything else in the world is intelligence. And Mary was the most intelligent human being I've ever known. Mary had a PhD in chemistry from Georgetown University, then had a 4-year postdoctoral fellowship with Sloan Kettering in New York, probably the most prestigious cancer research organization in the world. And she finished in the 99th percentile in the nation on the graduate records. On all the graduate tests. So we're talking about a really, really, really
exceptional
brilliant,
woman.
Brilliant woman. Yeah,
and then she was a sweetheart. She was a beautiful woman.
I want to see a picture.
Mary was, what was funny about Mary was the most self-effacing. You'd be around her. I'm kind of open and gregarious. So when people would meet us as a couple, they would almost miss Mary because she's so quiet and self-effacing. After about the second time, no one gave a dang about me. They just wanted to.
Once they got to know her, they're like, "Hey, what's this?"
It takes a big and great man to be in a shadow of great woman and see like she's the one who's above. I am so happy. You had beautiful life with your wife, and I'm telling you, real love exists.
But Ilona, there's a great reason I asked Ronnie to be here today.
Yes.
The month of November is Alzheimer's Awareness Month. And Ronnie has this great song. It's a true story. It happened blocks from here. And do you want to talk about it? Well, let's intro it a little bit.
Play, because we talk a little bit. Maybe we start from the song.
Okay, play it, and then you can talk about it
afterwards. Okay. Then Bus to Baltimore.
Yeah, yes. I'd rather talk about it than play it, because the story that goes in front of it, I think, sets it up better.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Absolutely.
This happened several years ago. I was right over here, like Mike said, 5-6 blocks from here in my house, and I noticed a little lady on the sidewalk in front of my house. And she was very primly dressed. She had to be in her late 80s, And she had on a little blue crinoline dress and little white gloves, a little white pocketbook, lace collar, white hat. And she was standing out at what I think she thought was a bus stop. The sign she was standing under was obscured with leaves and branches. I happen to know it says no standing here, but she thought it was a bus. And she kept peering down the street as though she were expecting a bus. And she was becoming more and more and more agitated. And finally, I couldn't stand it anymore, and I went out and I said, "Excuse me, ma'am, could I help you?" And she looked very sweetly, and she said, "Yes, young man." I love it when they call me young man. She said, "Yes, young man." I said, "Is this where I catch the bus to Baltimore?" Oh. And I think she thought Baltimore was just a stop or two down.
Let's listen to the song.
She stood on the corner, lost in time, trying to get back to somewhere in her mind. "Mister, can you help me find the place I'm looking for? I'm waiting for the bus to Baltimore." Pale blue dress neatly pressed, collar made of lace, snow white hair, coal black eyes, angelic face. "I really need to get back home, 'cause I've got so many chores, so I'm waiting for the bus to Baltimore. That's where my two babies lie asleep, where Dad and Harvey decorate the tree. Ruth still has a fever, Kathy scraped her knee, they need me. Then a younger woman came, took her by the hand. "Have you been telling stories, Mama, to this nice old man? The house you had in Maryland burned down in 84. Still she's waiting for the bus to Baltimore. That's where her two babies lie asleep, where her daddy decorates the Christmas tree. My sister Ruth has moved to Phoenix, so all that's left is me, and she needs me." And sometimes, late at night, on the edge of sleep, I think about that woman on the street, and I wonder if she found the peace she was longing for. Oh, I hope she found the bus to Baltimore.
Beautiful, beautiful storytelling. Congratulations. Very pretty. Yes. Oh, you make people cry.
Well, yeah. See, I think it's just as important to sing the sad songs as it is to sing the happy songs.
Absolutely.
Because that's what, especially folk music, but nothing cuts through to the heart like music does.
Absolutely.
And so I used to apologize for doing too many sad. I don't do a lot of sad songs, but I think it's important to do the sad songs too.
Absolutely.
Well, I think there's beauty in that as well. Like, I mean, the woman waiting at the bus, you can see it as a like a blanket, like, oh, this is a sad situation, or you can see it like she is in her reality, experiencing her desire to go there, and in her experience, it doesn't have to necessarily be that sad. It could be something where you can support that person in their experience.
Yeah, that's the reason the line at the end, I hope she found the bus to Baltimore.
Exactly. Yeah. Like seeing it in that another light where it's not like judging her and her experience, but embracing where she's at.
And it's Alzheimer's Awareness Month, and it's a terrible disease. I think it's just a matter of, even if it might be a bit sad, it's beautiful, and it's helping get the message out to pay attention and help support the research that's going on.
Could be us.
And I just heard something there's been new research. I heard this on NPR the other day. And there's new research that has linked Alzheimer's with lack of sleep from us older people. And
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I would encourage us all, especially those of us getting up in age, to make sure we get a good night's sleep.
Adequate amount of sleep. That's interesting.
Wonderful. Yeah.
I also read somewhere that there's some kind of research about the extra chromosome in people who have mental retardation. Using that extra chromosome, they're doing some research that might be the key to helping Alzheimer's, which is interesting as well. But there's so much possibilities.
That's the research that's going on.
But
they, like so many other things, it needs funds and needs support.
Yes.
I know, and this is we're coming back to family and how important it is to have friends and family and also some passion in life. And sometimes we see older people to being more and more lonely, or they feel like they're not supposed to have nothing going on in mm-hmm. their lives. And we need to encourage this wonderful human beings who we will be them very soon, you know, because it just give them something to do, to take them, show them something new. That's the most important, I think. My mama had a dementia when she died also. I went very fast, almost 1 year from, she remembered me till end, but she remembers songs. All songs that I was singing to her, and that's how I was connecting with her and in the place that she was with few people in similar situation, and I was singing every word she remembered. She didn't remember so much, you know, she was writing her name or flowers or something on the paper, but when I sat and sang out loud with every word.
And the older the better.
Absolutely.
I mean, songs, I go around and do some shows at you know, assisted living homes and things like that.
We think that our life's supposed to get smaller. I think supposed to be smaller as a, we don't need things to buy, we don't need to things to change, we can minimalize our life. But when it comes to how big our life can be with reading, watching movies, going and meeting people, because that's what scares me about America. We are not talking to each other anymore.
And that's how the music bridges that gap, I think, better than anything else.
And memory of music, you know, and then bring this back. Then please, radio, just don't play only 10 songs over and over. We had hundreds of songs that even I remember from 1950s, and I would love to listen to them when I drive in a car. Drives me crazy. Anyway, we have this another song. Mike, you sent it to me the night John Houston died.
Yeah, it's... I guess it's another morbid song.
That's okay. Nothing wrong with it. I'm telling you, this light is scary right now. I know we have Crash with us, and we need Crash badly today. But life, the last day, you know, that's what's going on in Texas. That's what even happened here in Sherman Oaks. So that's what we are reading and listening on and watching. It's a petrifying, and I am a songwriter. I think I will be only writing said song right now. I only said songs. I need Crash that will like wake me up and say maybe life can be good.
Well, I feel like when you've gone through hell, you've experienced hell, then you can really appreciate when it's the happiness part. Yeah, because life is complex. And a lot of my songs do have a ray of light in them, but they also have a reality base where, I understand. It's not about hiding all the, covering up all the bad stuff. It's about, recognizing it and then also continue to have hope within.
Yeah. Then, we are not afraid to listen to sad songs or just talking about John Huston. When John Huston died, could you tell us a little bit about this story?
I was honored to get to know John Huston the last year of his life.
Yeah.
He was my hero as a director and as an actor and producer. I loved John Huston's work. And John, he was dying of emphysema the last year of his life, and he loved to play poker. So he would invite some of us over to play poker and help him while away the afternoon. And I got to know him that last year of his life. And then the very night that he died was just such a dramatic thing that I wanted to write a song. Because John also, in addition to loving poker, he loved songs of the Mexican Revolution.
Mm.
And we were supposed to be having an Irish wake. John and Maricela were in the room there, and the rest of us were out in the living room. And instead of playing Irish tunes, we were playing Mexican tunes. Mm-hmm. And so when I was writing the song, I wanted to put a little bit of a Mexican flavor on at the beginning. And I remembered an old Mexican folk song that I learned when I was in high school, I think, called El Burro. And El Burro was about a town in Mexico that had only one town, one burro for the entire town, did the work for the entire town. And so when the burro died, they gave the burro a funeral. And so I thought John would love the irony of being associated with a funeral song for a jackass.
Okay, you see, we have nice twist.
All right, that's a great intro.
Listen to this. Night, John Huston died.
He loves the game of poker. That's how I knew him best. By that time he was older, there was a cloud upon his chest. And if he won or lost, his expression never changed. John was a student of the game. He wasn't much of a husband. He was married to his work. There were millions who loved him, and a precious few he hurt. He was a man of visions who saw the world in frames. John was a master of the game. And I saw Sierra Madre when I was just a kid. Somehow I had to find out how he did the things he did. His red badge of courage, his African queen. He taught me about life, casting shadows on a screen. Was showing the night John Huston died, just faithful Maricela sitting by his side. He found her hand and he raised it high, champ at the final bell. Last thing John said was give him hell. And I saw Sierra Madre when I was just a kid. Somehow I had to find out how he did the things he did. His red badge of courage, the man who would be king. He taught me about life, casting shadows on the screen.
loved the game of poker. That's how I knew him best. By that time he was older, there was a cloud upon his chest. And if he won or if he lost, his expression never changed. John was a student of the game.
Yes, with your story before, song is really, really almost, I see the picture and the situation, and it's not so sad because this is like end of the story, real life story of somebody's life, but you present this so beautifully.
Well, thank you. Gently. See, that's another thing that's, there are two schools of thought about especially the kind of music I do. There's one school of thought of just sing the song and shut up, and that's perfectly valid, but with me, there's always a story that goes with every song. And if I don't have a story for a song,
I'll find a story.
I'll make one up. Because that's another thing, too. I found out a long time ago, I don't let the truth get in the way of a good.
Thank you.
That's the creativity, and we need that.
I once read a quote from Picasso, of all people, that I found to be so freeing for me as a storyteller. Picasso said, art is not truth. Art is a lie that makes us realize truth.
Okay.
Nice. I
got to tell you, I saw Ronnie play. I probably saw 20 shows and heard these stories. And one day, I think in an elevator or a hotel room or something, I asked, Are those stories true? He said, no.
I love it.
I made them all up.
I love it. You play on people's emotions.
Sometimes people think that my music is like about me, and I'm like, no, it's not necessarily.
No, it needs to be.
Doesn't need
actually,
to be.
Actually, the Baltimore story is true.
And is the Houston story.
The John Houston story primarily
okay,
is
one
true.
Day we'll have you here in the studio. We'll be playing your song.
Oh, we can
you
do like
lie
truth
about.
Or like, yeah, truth or like that. What's that game? Like truth or lie?
I have a song called Quintana Roo and people it's about a young cowboy that gets in trouble down in Mexico and it's really, and people get so worried about, and that's a totally made up story.
But I'm a good filmmaking. You know, that's what you do. Okay, but we have this beautiful crush with us. Aww. And I'm so happy that you are including your opinion and you talking to us also in time of our interview. And you're representing the genre of music that, of course, is so different from folk
yes.
music.
Yes.
But you mentioned that your first album was folkish.
It sure was, in high school.
And now, electronica, dance, pop, what is going on? How did you do that?
You know, my son, he had an effect on me.
Okay.
I grew up in music. I grew up training at the Opera Theater of St. Louis.
Wow.
And I was doing musical theater. I was performing at the Muni Opera, which is the largest outdoor musical theater in the world. So I was classically trained. And then I started doing a lot of folk music, acoustic. And then I had my son, and things just turned upside down.
I had my son. That's so cool.
He had
How
this
old
effect
is he?
On me. We just started dancing to a lot of pop music. He's six. Oh. And I just thought, I'm going to do something fun and wild and outside the box. And
did you want to connect with him this way?
Well,
because
really,
obviously,
you know,
explain
I,
as your...
I will say, I think just being a mom in general made me a little less serious.
Yeah.
Oh. I think I was in high school, I was more of like the brooding, like introspective. I am naturally an introvert. So when I had my son, it just, you know, lightened things up a lot, and like bright colors just became my norm.
I think you are the brightest mother, you know, in a soccer team.
Yeah, most likely. And you know, he just lights up my heart, and just teaches me so much, and just like there's so many elements of me that I didn't realize existed until like it came into my life.
Yeah, but you know, when you're talking about you, I would like to know a little bit more, because now we are in Hollywood or Los Angeles, and yes, you are with your son, and your career is really going very, very well. You are releasing great videos, and you
have this genre,
the corner of the market is very colorful, very cartoonish, but in cool way, and animated. I posted a link to a video on Accent On also, but yeah. If, in your own words, how you'll be describing your style of music and style of songwriting?
Well, I would say visually, my music videos look like a rainbow threw up on itself. And I think that's pretty accurate. And then, you know, I like to create pop music that you can dance to, you can laugh to, that's self-aware in the absurdity of a lot of it, because the industry can be quite absurd, including the music. Just having a lot of fun. And so when I create music, it's a lot of it is just like I have this crazy imagination, and it'll come from all kinds of inspirations. My first single that came out, Bow On It, was I was shopping at Costco with my son, and I saw all these huge bows, and I just was like, this is so crazy. It was during the holidays, and I just wrote a crazy song about it. but it became really popular, and just a lot of like just made people happy. And I find value in that.
And then you are mentioning also that you like to put a lot of, how do you call this, like your look.
Yeah, I like to have
you're
fun.
You're very colorful. you like, obvious, to create your own look.
I do. I design my own clothes often. I design my own red carpet looks. When I did the red carpet for the Grammys.
Yeah, tell us about this one. Yeah.
That one was inspired by another thing, just you know, random ball pits. Like, children love ball pits, and I go places with my son, and he loved ball pits. So I decided to make a dress out of ball pit balls. And then it ended up going viral. It was on
every magazine. Congratulations!
Thank you. Yeah, and it was just my son actually thought it was a ball pit. He jumped into me like he was like I was a ball pit.
That we will never see you in a black dress. What do you think?
Oh, honey, you never say never when it comes to me. So
and a black color. Okay, but we have something to promote today. Yes, we have your
single
and Girl Crush
for you.
I want to know a little bit story, like Ronnie told us a little bit. What
so
is
this
song about?
So this is a love song that I wrote for my son. And I actually wrote it for him for his birthday last summer. Like summer before that, I wanted to give him a present. And what better than to write a song? So we're always singing together and writing music together. And so I wrote this song for him. And then we created the music video. And it's a cartoon music video. And I gave that to him for the holidays. It's just basically just encompasses my love for him. And, you know, as a mom, learning that sometimes even though the challenges of being a mother and some of the things that come with that, the love that you have for your child, you can overcome any obstacle.
Anything,
literally. And so that's what the song's about.
Beautiful. Let's play.
2011. I give birth to my heart. You were sent here from heaven, and we'll never be apart. 'Cause everywhere you go, my heart will go too. In every breath you take, remember that I. I'll stay dragons for you, cross
my dreams. You surpassed everything the love I have for you. You're a dream come true. Oh, out of all my dreams, you surpassed everything the love I have for you. You're a dream come true.
So cute, because you know we think that you are talking about love to somebody else, but it's literally about
it is
love
about
to
love.
okay, people can take the song whatever.
That's true. Actually, when I wrote it, I thought, that's the great thing about art and music is you can create something and then it can mean something else to someone else, and that's perfectly great.
How can we find you if somebody wants to just talk to you or ask for your music or just
all my social media is Girl Crush Pop, P-O-P, Girl Crush Pop, and my website's Girl Crush Pop, and I'm on YouTube with all my videos. It's Girl Crush Pop.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, everything's Girl Crush Pop.
The same with you, Ronnie. Obviously, we would love to probably watch your career develop in many different directions, because we just don't have time to talk about everything, but we have really time. We can make it for another meeting. And we didn't even talk a little about your movie career.
Yeah.
Yes, Mike, you just tell us a little bit about this 100-something movies behind.
125, isn't it?
Are you? Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Movies like little movies like RoboCop and Beverly Hills Cop and Deliverance. And
oh, my gosh.
All kinds of great films.
And I don't want to even tell people because Halloween is over, but you were talking about some crazy movies. Like Dangerous. You were playing bad guys.
Yeah.
You like to play bad guys, or they see you as a bad guy?
I tell you the truth, like Mike said, I've done like 125, 130 movies.
Amazing.
And television shows. And early in my career, I played all good guys. Mm-hmm. My first movie was Deliverance, which was, and because I played the band, the guitar, the dueling banjos became a big number one hit song. And so I got early in my career, people knew that I was this actor from New Mexico that also played music, but I played nothing but Boy Scout nice guys. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to play RoboCop and Total Recall and some of those on Dexter, then I got to play the really bad guys. And I got to tell you the truth, playing the bad guys is about a gazillion times more fun,
right? Yeah, I can imagine.
playing the good guys is no fun. I liken it to painting. Mm-hmm. If you're the good guy, you get three colors: red, white, and blue. If you're the bad guy, you get the whole palette.
Mm-hmm.
And so, look at any movie. The guy that's always the most interesting is the bad guy.
I know.
He's the one. I mean, look at any of the really bad. And not too long ago, I played Dick Jones in RoboCop, and he was voted the number one villain in movies there for.
That's fantastic! Congratulations.
I know.
I'm the number one villain. Watch out.
And the creep.
That's a great
creep
thing to put on your resume.
Dexter.
That was creepy.
The creep in Dexter was, but Total Recall. He was a really bad guy in that.
How you can go home and sleep? You said that mm-hmm. we older people are supposed to sleep. I'm saying me.
Nah.
And now when you play stuff like that, you go to home with Alzheimer. That's so scary. I need to sleep. I will be petrified to fall asleep if I will be on a set for 2-3 days playing.
I've I feel like being crazy on set actually makes you like not as scared because you're like in the atmosphere that you're creating it, so it's not quite as scary.
Yeah, it's,
it ends up having a fluff to it when you're actually there.
Yeah, there's you take none of that stuff home with
no.
you.
Really?
I'll tell you the absolute hardest thing to play. I have never talked about this much, but I did a mini series once on the killing of JonBenet Ramsey. I played John Ramsey, who's her father.
Yeah.
Now, so that's a 4-hour mini series that took us like 4 months to shoot it. You're dealing every day with the death of a little girl.
Yeah, unresolved.
That's serious, and it's real.
And even though your head knows you're acting, no, your body doesn't.
As a real life.
So you're going through all day, every day, with these emotions running through, this adrenaline going through you, and dealing with the death of a little girl. And at the end of the day, mm-hmm, your brain says, okay, that's it, I'm done. And your body is saying, wait a minute, pal, you put me through this. You can't just turn me off like this. And so that was the hardest thing.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Emotionally, I've ever had to do was to play that for 4 months.
Especially playing her father. And this is a girl that did die.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And a father who was accused of being the killer of her when it's been proven over and over again that he didn't. So how would you like to be the father of a child that's murdered? And not only do the police not believe that you didn't, they think you're the killer too, so
wow.
it was a really hard thing to play.
I would like to play maybe 2 minutes of one of my songs. Okay, it's called Faith, which we have still a few seconds, few minutes for our show, but we have beautiful guests today, and it's like a young how you say left and right, but we are going back and forth, and it's not enough of time for all of us to just touch every subject that I would like to. Especially, you are so good a storyteller. You really, really are amazing. I would love to talk to you for hours. And I want to listen to Crush. I want to listen to more of your music. Because you don't know.
Dance
I am
a time.
Little crazy electronica diva too. But sometimes I sing sad songs. And this is the saddest that I ever wrote. It's called Faith. Time in life for anything, not even for faith. But right now, we have three last minutes, and I would love to introduce one more time our guest to everybody who would like to maybe listen more than please. In 2-3 hours, the show will be available for downloads, and we can listen to the show over and over by going to latalkradio.com and scroll Accent On. All archives are there. But right now, Mike Gormley. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy you're back. And can you tell us a little bit about your LAPD?
About my what?
About your business.
My company?
Oh. Yes.
Oh, it's, it's a management consulting company to artists like Ronnie Cox, who's I've been with for a long time, and a lot of other artists. And this week we had a guest on this show, TJ Doyle. And this week his record is number one on the independent radio charts.
Congratulations. Awesome. He was here, a lovely, lovely gentleman. And again, the name of your company?
LA Personal Development.
I know, don't say this. LAPD. That's so cool.
No, I never say LAPD.
I like that. You know, that's what captures people's ears.
Someday I'll tell you the story of LAPD. Why it's LAPD.
Oh, my gosh. But this is wonderful.
But I want to recommend, yes. I want to recommend people in Arizona can go see Ronnie Cox this weekend. This on the 9th and the 10th. 9th in Gilbert and 10th in Prescott.
Whoa.
Nice.
And his shows are cool because he'll meet you at the front door and he'll hang out with you and then he'll go on stage and then he'll hang out with you when it's over. So it's cool.
It's a really nice one-on-one with artists. Okay, Ronnie, how can we find you? Where we can go to your website? The best?
Yeah, just go to ronniecox.com. Just make sure you spell it R-O-N-N-Y. If you spell it R-O-N-N-I-E, you might get a porn site.
Oh, the same was with Ilona, right. Or some French porn star somewhere.
Now, for some reason, people always think that Ronnie is spelled R-O-N-N-I-E, and it's not. And it's R-O-N-N-Y. Ronnie, R-O-N-N-I-E, is the nickname for Veronica.
Oh, wonderful. No. Okay, Dan, we have Crush, Girl Yay. Crush. Could you tell us one more time how we can
yes.
get in touch with you?
Girlcrushpop.com. And I'm also, my handle is Girl Crush Pop on social media.
Of course. And Facebook.
Yeah.
You're
oh, yeah,
everywhere.
Yeah.
And YouTube.
And YouTube. Yes. I always write back. I love when people write me and reach out because I love connecting with people.
Lovely. And you'll be back. We'll be listening to more of your songs. And we have another guest in our studio who is very quiet, but that's how he likes. That's okay. And Carlos, could you tell us one more time your company name?
Yeah, it's Scribe Services PR, and I encourage everybody to download Girl Crush's new song.
That is called
for you. Anything for You on iTunes. Girl Love. Crush, Anything for You.
Oh, we can stop the time, but anyway, we cannot. Ilona Europa, Accent on Monday, 5 till 6. Ah, 6 till 7. Ah, 6 till 7 Pacific time every Monday. Thank you so much for today. Okay, bye.
You're listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.